in 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, speaking of one of the kings here, and in particular, King Jeroboam the second became king, began to reign in Israel, in Samaria, in Israel, the northern kingdom. And during that time, 25th verse speaks of Jonah the prophet, who prophesied during his reign. So Jonah is mentioned there. Jonah is mentioned, and he's called a prophet, and he is one of the what we call minor prophets, a short book of only four short chapters. I'd like to talk a little bit about Jonah's experiences, his prophecy. He's a lot like, I believe, a lot like Hosea. Hosea's life that he lived was his prophecy. And Jonah and his experiences was his prophecy as well. He was told to where to go and preach the gospel, where to go prophesy. I guess the most well-known thing when you mention the name of Jonah is the next thing that's thought of is the big fish, the whale. Jesus Christ speaks of Jonah in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and being in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. But a lot goes on in this scenario in the life of Jonah. And it mentions, as it does over in 2 Kings, that 14th chapter, the name of his father there. And it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Just like last Sunday when I spoke on Malachi, the word of the Lord came to Malachi. These are the words of the Lord to these prophets. And so the second verse says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria, a nation who, in fact, would take into bondage Israel at some point. But at this point, Israel was not under bondage to Assyria, but these were Gentiles, and the capital was Nineveh. It was a great city, and their wickedness had come before the Lord. We'll see in this that the Lord cared for his people wherever they were, wherever they are. We can bring that forward to today. He's immutable. He doesn't change, and so he cared for them. There was great wickedness there, but they're no different in that respect than Israel was, and the wickedness time and time again that they got bogged down into, even having what they were given by God. So Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and cry against it. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So that was his great plan there, is to get out of the presence of God. I can relate to Jonah in that respect. Well, first thing I think is, where can you go to get out of the presence of God? And yet he didn't want to go to preach to Nineveh. This wickedness, Gentiles, I can understand that. Let me get a couple of verses out of Acts, the 16th chapter. In Acts chapter 16, I believe it's there. If I can get out of John and get into Acts, that would help. Acts chapter 16. Timothy and Paul and Silas here, and they had established churches, about the 5th verse, 16th chapter, and they had gone through region of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Then they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." So Paul saw this vision. And being an apostle, being a minister of the gospel, they were guided not to go certain places by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, being part of the Trinity, is God, doesn't change. We have the same God today. Now, I've never seen, never seen a vision, certainly not one that told me either not to go somewhere or to go somewhere else and preach the gospel. I do believe that I've had strong feelings, I pray, of the Holy Ghost that guided me to go preach the gospel somewhere or simply to go visit somewhere. And so I look for that. Maybe I look too hard. Maybe I'm guilty of looking too hard at indications, indicators of what I'm to do, even in my secular life, on my job, where to go, and so forth. But I personally would rather overlook that, try to seek the guidance of the Holy Ghost in whatever I'm to do. And if, in fact, my vocation is preaching the gospel to the church, to children of God, possibly not only to the church, but to children of God, then I need to seek the guidance of the Holy Ghost, the same one that guided Paul here. Certainly in what church to serve as pastor, I've still been blessed with the desire, the unction to know where I'm to be as far as being an under shepherd of a church. If God's not in it, if the Holy Ghost said me not to do something, then I need to not do that. But as much as I second guess myself and I step away, and you know, I have to battle that all the time. But so many times, even in time years gone by, I feel like I've been blessed with guidance of the same one that guided the Apostle Paul here in these ones to go to Macedonia. And it says in the 10th verse, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So they followed that there. Why would anyone want to be anywhere where God did not want them to be, to serve Him? That's where I am, because it's going to, I just think of the rest in that. The peace and the calm. If we're going where God would have us, then there'd be rest and peace in that. So they followed what God showed them in this vision here, and they went to Macedonia and helped them there. Jonah was told by God himself to go to Nineveh and cry against it. Now, so far, we don't really know, and it's not written here, what God bid him to preach to them. But we'll see in a moment here. But Jonah decided to go, instead of going about 500 miles northeast to Nineveh, he decided to go 2,000 miles west to Tarshish to get out of the presence of God. He did not choose wisely here, as you all know. I know you know the story here, at least the outcome of it. But there's so much more here than just the whale here that the Lord provided here. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. It was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, small letter G there, unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. So they're trying to lighten the load there. This all makes perfect sense. Well, let's get this stuff off of here. They're praying to their gods that they be saved. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He was resting there. He was asleep during this tempest brought on by God. The shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" It's kind of amusing. "Arise, call upon thy God," capital letter G, "call upon thy God, if so that be that God," not his God, "but that God will think upon us that we perish not." They knew who to go to somehow to pray to his God, to God Almighty, the great I Am. And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. They said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou?" They knew he was different. They knew he was different there. Now, if I stop there, all it looks like is that they could tell that something was different about Jonah, and that he must. And yet they cast lots, but it sounds like they already knew which guy was to blame for this here that was on the ship. But later on, it's in this 10th verse, because he had told them, he had already told them that he was fleeing the presence of God. It doesn't expand on that. What else did he tell them? But they knew. I don't know if I'd even let him on the ship if he told me, "I'm fleeing from God, and so I'm going to get on your ship to flee from God." So a lot of this doesn't really add up, but they took him on the ship there. But they could tell he was different. From whence thou comest, what is thy country, what people art thou? I believe, and I've experienced this in my life where, I'm trying to think back, doesn't matter, most or all of my secular jobs, the places where I've worked, they were not aware that I was an ordained minister. Or when I was working and I was a deacon in the church, and they knew, and they expressed this. I'm not saying I'm anything good and all I strive to be, but just simply, it's sad to say that when we're at work and we simply don't use bad language, that's an indication to them, just in that alone, that we're different, and so they know. But others have expressed things, and one in particular that I hope Kathy doesn't mind. But back when she suffered a stroke, I ended up going back to work after we got her in the hospital and got taken care of, and she was in intensive care and they knew. I told them, and because I seek their prayers even at work. But they knew my manager approached me he approached someone else and said, "Well, this is strange. Ward seems to be at peace. He seems to be not worried and stressed out and anxious over this." And his wife, I believe, 42 years old, and had a serious hemorrhagic stroke and so they knew something is different, but I knew that one way or another, everything would be fine. Everything would be fine, one way or another. I knew what I wanted the outcome to be, and it ended up that way. Lord's gracious. And so Andrew and I went through some serious times during that time, but still I had a peace there. They knew Jonah here. There was something different about him here, and they called on him to call upon his God here on this ship, because their ship was like to have been broken and wrecked here. So he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So God created all of this. He created the sea. He created the dry land. He created the fish. And so it's all his creation. And he has perfect control over all in his kingdom. So he told them who he was. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? So now they're looking. Now they know everything about this guy that's on their ship. For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they knew this. So then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said, so Jonah said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So isn't that gracious of Jonah? They said, just cast me into the sea. I'm the reason for this. So that should fix everything. Just cast me into the sea. They did not immediately do that. They tried their best to row to the land. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. So they didn't cast him out. They could have, but they didn't. They rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now they had prayed before to their gods. Now they're praying to God. They're praying to the God of Jonah at this point. They're praying to the Lord. And it says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. So they're fine now. Now it doesn't end there for them. It says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So they feared, they revered God. They revered him and respected him and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, made vows. Had Jonah not gone and gotten on this particular ship then, none of that would have happened to them. But yet with this experience then, and had they not believed that he was God here, then they wouldn't have prayed to God, the God of Jonah. They would have still been praying to their gods. So we see the great power and the sovereignty of God Almighty. And so the Lord had prepared this great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That he was there. And just like in the parting of the Red Sea, just like the plagues of Egypt, and just like in this, man would try to explain away these miracles there. God parted the Red Sea, and they went across dry shod. There wasn't a puddle there. It was dry shod. They went across, and those plagues in Egypt were plagues, literal things that happened there at the hand of God through Moses. And so here God prepared this fish, and so I don't need to have explained to me how someone could or could not live in a fish in the belly of a whale for 3 days and 3 nights. I believe it. It took place here. Short second chapter here, only 10 verses, is a prayer of Jonah. Now, as I go to and read God's Word, I read writings of other men who have been called to preach the doctrine, the gospel. I want to go say, what was Nineveh like? So I go and read the writings of men. So I find these things. Now, in some of these writings, as I study this subject here of Jonah and what happened to him, as he prayed here, Brother Billy has talked about his prayer closet, where he goes into his closet and he prays and all, and we're well aware of the movie that some of us have seen in that, but one of those writers had mentioned that and he called it a prayer closet. This Jonah is in the belly of this whale, and he prayed to Lord God Almighty, and the Lord God heard his prayers here. I won't go through all of these things, but he says in the second verse of the second chapter, after it says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and thou heardest my voice. Even in the disobedience of Jonah, even in him trying to flee the presence of God, thanks be to God that he was not successful in fleeing the presence of God. And God heard his prayer, said, and thou heardest my voice. And going on down in here, it says, and he prays to God for salvation. It says in the seventh verse, when my soul fainted, seventh verse of the second chapter, says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. There have been many times that's when I was brought to remember the Lord. When I was fainting away, when I'd lost what I thought was all my hope, then God would show me and cause me to remember Him. Look at the children of Israel. Look at King David, the many times that he remembered the Lord God. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. He knew, even in his disobedience here, that Jonah's prayer was heard. It says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, I'd heard in listening to preaching when I was a kid, and preachers would preach on Jonah or even refer to this event there. And I remember even my dad said that after this experience, and right here in this 10th verse of the second chapter, I can remember my dad's voice even saying that Jonah hit the beach preaching there, that he had learned his lesson. But he hasn't started preaching just yet here. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So here comes God again. Well, how will Jonah fare in this? The second time, arise and go unto Nineveh. His commandment to Jonah has not changed. Go to Nineveh, this great city of wickedness, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Another experience that I've never had is an audible voice or vision to tell me exactly what to preach to God's people. But I can't use that as a cop-out to say, well, he doesn't tell me what to preach. I just have to find something. I believe he guides us in that. Lord gives us messages where one way that I've had that proven to me is when I preach a message that I find two or more people will comment on that. Maybe something I've just said in passing in that sermon wasn't my main subject, but they received what they need out of that sermon. Amen. That they got what they needed. I believe God's in that. Certainly the preaching of the gospel is a part of our worship service where God feeds his people. There have been times when I'm getting nothing out of the sermon. Maybe someone right next to me or across the room, they're shedding tears of joy. They're getting something from that. Now, I react as Jonah did here, as we'll see in a moment, the effect of his preaching in Nineveh. there that where I said, well, why are they getting something out of this and I'm not? Well, the problem is me. I'm getting exactly maybe what I need at that moment. And that's not being blessed to hear that for whatever reason. So he told him a second time, go and preach under the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah, he's learned something here. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So he took 3 days. He got to Nineveh in Assyria. And he said, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, that's not a very good message to go all this way, and all that he suffered, and all trying to flee the presence of God. And his message is, Nineveh, you're going to be overthrown. You're going to be overthrown. And that's all we hear of his message here in God's word, in this book of Jonah. So we see, and I think and read about this city and even what God said, that it was they were in great wickedness. They were Gentiles. They weren't under the law. In fact, soon they would take Israel into bondage. They would attack. It was a great nation, as Assyria was. So I would think they'd tell this one man that wanders into this city to just get out, just hit the road, and they knew how great they were, but that's not what happened. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. And that tells me, and even God sending this preacher, this prophet, Jonah, to Nineveh, who had done wickedness, that God had a people there. And this is proven here. God has a people here. And it shows, it showed Israel that his blessings, God's blessings, are not exclusive to Israel, to the Hebrew people. His blessings are for who he chooses to bless. And yet we see Israel throughout Israel's history, how they were angered. As I read some out of Malachi last Sunday, that they said, you're blessing these evil ones over here, and we who are doing good, you're not blessing. They're telling God this to his face. But his love and his care here in time is not exclusive it's not exclusive to the church that Jesus Christ set up. It's not exclusive to the Jews, and we're thankful for that, that the Gentiles were brought into the nation of Israel. So they believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least, all of them, they received the word of the gospel message here through Jonah. So you would think at this point, I'm thinking, okay, what's Jonah thinking? He must be completely thrilled and excited and encouraged that they've heard my gospel. They've heard what Lord bid me to preach, and they've received it. They believed me. They believed God. It came even to the king of Nineveh. And he did the same, put on sackcloth and sat in ashes, caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh. Now it says in the ninth verse, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw, in the 10th verse, God saw their works. This Gentile nation, Nineveh, in this capital city, who were in wickedness, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So here this preacher's message was successful. The preaching of God's message that he bid Jonah to preach, finally, he preached it there, and it was successful. So we get into the last verse of this, of the last chapter of this book, and he says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Well, why? Well, if we go back and look at history, we know why. Because Assyria was a great and evil nation who would still, in the future, take Israel, the promised people of God, into bondage. Yet at this point, they repented of their ways. They believed God, which if we believe God, then we're a child of God. And we can go all into the epistles of John and read the order of all these things. So Jonah prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. So Jonah knew that he's a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. So Jonah's telling God, I knew what you'd do. That's why I didn't want to come here. I knew that these people would receive your message and you're a gracious God, slow to anger, and that this would happen when I was yet in my country. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. And then said the Lord, doest thou well to be so angry? I can't imagine myself right today going somewhere and being disappointed or angry if a congregation receives the message that I hope was placed there by God upon me and receive that gladly, and then there be any results from it. Already having your eternal salvation, and not only having it, but realizing it. We could very well walk away and stop serving God. I could stop preaching the gospel. I know for a surety that I'd be in heaven. I am encouraged by the church. I am edified, uplifted in the church, being a part of her and by a member, a part of the body of Christ. I've seen blessings in my life. I don't want to rewind and see, well, what would have happened had I never been in the church or had I deserted God and walked away from the church. I know of others where that's happened, but I don't question the efficacy of the salvation of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for those people. But I know what I would miss. I want the rest that Jonah felt sleeping in that ship and the solid remembrance of who God is in the belly of that whale as he still prayed to God there, and his prayers were answered there. So he spared this nation, this city of Gentiles here because of the preaching for his forgiveness and the descriptive words there in that second verse of that fourth chapter there. And yet Jonah was angered by that. So we see even in our lives, certainly, that whatever state we're in, whatever state of wickedness or sinfulness or desertion of God, that we still, if God gives us that unction to pray unto him, that we're to pray, he has drugged me out, and I might become angry that, this person over here is enjoying this sermon or this song service or this prayer, and I'm just as dry as I could be, and I won't go into that gourd there and that worm there at the end of that at this point. But anyway, and I become angry at that. But then God is slow to anger. He is merciful. He blesses me one more time to draw me close to him and then in service again. I don't want to do good in my life simply because of the blessings that I feel and feel sure that I will receive, but because we owe it to God Almighty. Read again the sufferings of Jesus Christ there at Calvary, on his road to Calvary there to save us from our sins. He came, he was named Jesus because he was to save his people from their sins. God has been merciful to show us that. And so we, as I tried to mention some last night, again, that we're to prepare our ways before God, and He will fight our battles. There's been some battles that I'm worried about out ahead of me, that before I even get to where I think I'm going to have to fight that, He's already won it. He's fought the battle, and He's put a solution in there that I never saw. Never question the sovereignty of God and His love for you. Some of the preaching over this weekend mentioned the importance of us in the eyes of God. But look what He sacrificed for you.
Amen.
His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Look and look at the manner. Behold that. And so one day, even though we have an earnest of our inheritance now, we know and we feel that love that dwells within us. But one day, body, soul, and spirit, we will be there and we will know in fullness. And that's when we'll have perfect satisfaction in the love of God Almighty. Thanks be to God for His presence today. May God bless and keep you.
Yeah.